This episode is entirely AI-generated, including the voice you're hearing. Today's sponsor is NoteFlow Pro, a fictional study organizer that claims to turn scattered thoughts into structured success. Though remember, this sponsor is completely fictional. Please note that some information in this episode may be hallucinated, so kindly double-check anything important before applying it to your studies. Today, we're diving deep into two fundamental college skills that most students think they've already mastered: reading and note-taking. By the end of this lecture, you'll understand why college reading demands entirely different strategies than what got you through high school, and how professional-level note-taking can transform your academic performance. Why should you care about mastering these seemingly basic skills? Because reading volume, how much you actually read, makes a significant contribution to vocabulary, general knowledge, spelling, and verbal fluency, according to educational researchers Ann Cunningham and Keith Stanovich. More fundamentally, reading literally changes your brain structure. An Emory University study using MRI scans tracked brain conductivity while participants read. The researchers found that biological changes to your brain actually occur when you read, and these changes linger. Think about that. Every time you engage seriously with a text, you're physically rewiring your neural pathways. But here's the challenge that trips up most college students. The volume of reading in college is staggering. A full course load might require 10 to 15 hours of reading per week. You cannot possibly read word for word every single document. This isn't a failure of your preparation. It's the reality of higher education. So we need to be strategic. This means understanding different types of reading, mastering active reading techniques, and developing note-taking systems that actually help you learn and remember. Let's start with the conceptual foundation. First, let's distinguish between reading types. When we read for information, like directions to a location or how to fix something, we have a specific, immediate goal. Once accomplished, we move on. This is instrumental reading. But college reading falls into two broader categories. First, reading to introduce new content. This is when you encounter unfamiliar territory, like Glenn learning about architecture to connect with his roommates. You need more time here because you lack prior knowledge to hook new information onto. Second, reading to comprehend familiar content more deeply. Even if you know something about a topic, say you've heard of Pluto's demotion from planetary status, deeper reading reveals layers you missed. When did Pluto's qualifications come into question? Who decides planetary status? Why was it called Pluto originally? Here's where students often become overconfident. Familiarity is not expertise. Reading an article or watching a documentary about criminal psychology doesn't make you an expert on the criminal mind. True expertise requires understanding all possible perspectives, potential biases, and the availability of false information. Now, let's examine primary versus secondary sources, because this distinction is crucial for college-level thinking. Primary sources are original documents, legal texts, historic letters, diaries, laboratory data. Secondary sources analyze, summarize, or argue about primary sources. Primary sources may contain outdated information we now know is incorrect, personal biases the writer never intended to publish, or even fanciful ideas that don't support current knowledge. But they give us direct access to how people thought and what they knew at specific historical moments. Secondary sources carry their own risks. They're inevitably another person's interpretation of the primary source, potentially inserting biases that persuade you to see the primary material in a particular light. The solution? Read primary sources alongside secondary sources whenever possible. Let's talk about reading speed and pacing, because time management is crucial. To determine your reading pace, time yourself reading for exactly 5 minutes, then multiply by 12 to get your hourly rate. If you read 4 pages in 5 minutes, that's 48 pages per hour. Use this calculation realistically. If you need to read a 497-page novel and your rate is 48 pages per hour, you need roughly 10 to 11 hours total. Spread over 2 weeks, that's about an hour daily. This isn't guessing, it's strategic planning. But remember, this pace assumes passive reading. Active reading, the kind college demands, takes at least twice as long. You're not just absorbing information, you're questioning, connecting, and analyzing. Plan accordingly. Now we reach the heart of effective college reading, recursive reading strategies. Recursive means circular, not linear. You'll read a selection from beginning to end, then return to passages to determine deeper meaning and connections. As people often say, writing is rewriting, college reading is rereading. This isn't inefficiency, it's how you extract full comprehension from complex material. You're reading for a specific purpose, not just entertainment or casual interest. Effective recursive reading involves over 6 interconnected steps. First, accessing prior knowledge. Before diving in, consciously recall anything you already know about the topic. Have you seen documentaries? Studied related material? This background becomes scaffolding for new information. Second, asking questions. Don't just think them, write them down. Why is this topic important? What's its current relevance? Why did your professor assign this reading? These questions focus your attention and create a framework for understanding. Third, inferring and implying. You take information on the page and conclude responses to related challenges through evidence or reasoning. Writers may imply information without stating it directly, often revealing biases or preferences indirectly. Fourth, learning vocabulary. Every discipline has specialized terms that practitioners use to communicate precisely. A term like sarcophagus means something specific to undertakers and archaeologists. Context clues help, but dictionary verification ensures accuracy. Fifth, evaluating the text. Scan titles and headings, read the full passage, question the author's main point, identify the audience, examine the evidence, consider whether the perspective is balanced, and recognize potential biases. Sixth, applying what you've learned. Connect new information to existing knowledge in real situations. How does learning about Earth's distance to the moon help you understand challenges of colonizing Mars? Application transforms theory into practical understanding. Let me pause here for active recall. Can you mentally retrieve the 6 steps of recursive reading? Try to name them before I continue. They are accessing prior knowledge, asking questions, inferring and implying, learning vocabulary, evaluating, and applying. Each step builds comprehension systematically. When you access prior knowledge, you create mental hooks for new information. When you ask questions, you create a purpose for reading. When you evaluate and apply, you move beyond passive absorption to active analysis. Let's examine specific reading strategies for college success. The SQ3R method, survey, question, read, recite, review, provides a systematic approach to any reading assignment. Survey means examining the structure before diving into content. Look for titles, headings, introductions, summaries, graphics captions, and keywords. Check copyright dates, author qualifications, anything that provides context. This overview helps you understand the text's general meaning and organization. Question involves creating specific inquiries about main ideas, support, examples, and conclusions. Turn the section headings into questions. Ask how the material relates to you, your school, your community, the world. These questions guide your reading purpose. Read means actually working through the text while seeking answers to your questions. Read in manageable chunks, paragraphs for complex material, sections or chapters for lighter content. Stop to make notes and answer questions in margins or white spaces. Be cautious with marking text. Don't rush into haphazard circling or extensive underlining. Overmarking creates visual noise that defeats the purpose. Your marks should organize and clarify, not overwhelm. Recite means speaking aloud. Engage multiple senses for better retention, visual through reading, auditory through speaking. Stop periodically to answer questions or clarify confusing passages. If you can't speak aloud, mentally say the material, though verbal recitation is more effective. Review involves going back over the material, adding notes, ensuring you've captured main points, supporting evidence, and overall meaning. Write a brief summary, no more than 1 page, before ending your session. Now, let's address skimming, which is not just glancing over words hoping something sticks. Effective skimming is a strategic first step, not an alternative to deep reading. Look for structural guides, headings, definitions, pull quotes, tables, context clues. Textbooks often provide skimming aids through bold text, color coding, and predictable chapter outlines. Even when these aren't present, search for introductory phrases like first, or the purpose of this article, and summary phrases like in conclusion or finally. During skimming, examine the text as a whole. For books, read chapter titles and determine the author's organizational logic. What argument is being presented? What support and conclusions does the writer offer? End with notes, terms to look up, remaining questions, overall summary. Let's move to the second major skill, note-taking. Beyond recording information, notes help you organize ideas, make meaning from unfamiliar content, and maintain focus. Taking notes keeps you cognitively active rather than passively absorbing. But here's the crucial point. Notes themselves are nearly worthless unless you actively work with them after the initial session. Research shows that without active engagement, students forget 60 to 75% of material within 2 days. This is the Ebbinghaus forgetting curve. Think of note-taking like learning music. Initially, you may not remember chords and notes well, but through frequent practice and review, you develop muscle memory and cognitive recall. Note-taking requires the same reinforcement through regular review. Effective note-taking starts with preparation. Understand why you're taking notes, master your preferred system, determine situation-specific priorities, and develop efficient shorthand. The best notes are organized in ways that encourage frequent review and use. Organization is fundamental. Whether you use a three-ring binder or computer files, maintain a systematic structure for each class. If you don't organize materials, you'll waste significant time searching for improperly named or saved files later. Recent research compares handwriting versus computer note-taking. While individuals have strong preferences, format matters less than what you do with notes afterward. Both methods have advantages and disadvantages, but consistency in your chosen method is most important. Every note session should begin with identifying information: date, course name, topic, and any other details helpful for later reference. Consider adding session numbers, cross-references to handouts or textbook pages, and leave blank space for additions during review. Now let's examine specific note-taking strategies. The Cornell method, developed by Dr. Walter Paulk in the 1940s, divides your paper into three sections: a summary area at the bottom, a narrow recall column on the left, and a larger notes column on the right. During class, use only the notes column to record main points and concepts. Put ideas into your own words rather than transcribing verbatim. Skip lines between ideas. Use abbreviations. Employ bullet points or phrases rather than complete sentences. Within 24 hours, preferably within 8 hours, review your notes column and fill in missing details. In the recall column, write key ideas from the corresponding notes, just one or two word cues that help you remember detailed information. Once satisfied with both columns, summarize the page in two or three sentences in the bottom summary area. Then cover the large notes column and quiz yourself using only the recall column cues. This self-testing is crucial for memory consolidation. The Cornell method's main advantage is organized, workable notes. Without system, you might later find cryptic notes like Napoleon's short with no context. Was this important? How did it connect to the lecture? You can't possibly know. Formal outlining provides another organizational approach. Use Roman numerals for main topics, indented capital letters for related concepts, and Arabic numerals for supporting details. The challenge is maintaining this structure during fast-paced presentations. Charts or tables work well for comparing and contrasting information. Divide your paper into columns with headings like main topics or categories such as how, what, when used, advantages, disadvantages. Write information into appropriate columns as it emerges. Concept mapping appeals to visual learners. Main ideas go in circles or boxes with supporting concepts radiating outward, connected by lines. Details branch further from concepts. Turn your paper landscape for more space as you add ideas. Visual note-taking can include rough sketches to clarify complex ideas. According to educator Cheryl Nezel, using images and text gives you two different retrieval paths, doubling your chances of recall. Don't avoid this because you're not an artist. Rough images suffice. Efficient shorthand speeds up note-taking. Use symbols like wo, when, for, with, without, within. Use and for and for number, BC for because. Mathematical symbols like equal plus song represent equal plus greater less. Other useful abbreviations include diff for different, info for information, IMPT for important. Measurements like FD in K, M for foot, inch, thousand, million. Create your own consistent system and stick with it. Let me pause for another active recall session. Can you name three different note-taking systems we've covered? Try to recall their key features before I continue. They are Cornell method with three sections, formal outlining with hierarchical structure, and concept mapping with visual connections. Each system serves different purposes. Cornell method provides systematic organization and built-in review. Outlining shows hierarchical relationships clearly. Concept mapping reveals connections and patterns. Choose based on your learning style and the material's nature. Now we turn to annotation, perhaps the most valuable study skill you can master. Whether highlighting, underlining, or adding notes, you're reinforcing material through multiple engagements. But annotation requires discipline to be effective. The problem with highlighting is knowing when to stop. If you highlight entire paragraphs or whole pages, you've created visual noise equivalent to no highlighting at all. Your mantra should be less is more. Always read the full text before highlighting anything. Underlining provides precision and emphasis. Annotations include any enhancements you make to text for your particular use, highlighting, defining unfamiliar terms, writing questions in margins, circling key concepts, or otherwise marking for future reference. Multiple annotation sessions can be valuable as you deepen understanding. Write questions at the beginning of reading sessions and answers at the end. This creates a natural study guide for later exam preparation. But avoid overdoing annotation. Be judicious and neat. You cannot consume every bit of white space with notes and still read the original text effectively. Use decipherable shorthand and write only what conveys necessary meaning in small, clear print. Electronic texts allow similar annotation through highlighting, underlining, and note-adding features. Explore your device's specific tools. Apps like Microsoft OneNote, Google Keep, and Phone Notes features provide readily available platforms. You'll also encounter non-text materials requiring annotation, maps, charts, graphs, images, tables. Approach these systematically. Ask, what's the main point? Who's the intended audience? What time period? What does the legend include? What additional information do you need? Make extra copies of complex graphics before annotating if you're dealing with dense information. Taking time to understand all elements prevents adding to confusion through hasty marking. Returning to your notes within 24 hours is crucial. Or review and add missing information, including questions that arose during class. Use phone or computer reminders to make this a consistent habit rather than sporadic activity. Your notes become the foundation for exam preparation. They should enhance understanding of lessons, textbooks, lab sessions, and assignments. All time and effort in taking and organizing notes is wasted without an effective system for using them during test preparation. Let's address common misconceptions about reading and note-taking in college. First misconception, college reading is just more of what you did in high school. Wrong. College requires analytical reading, not just comprehension. You must evaluate arguments, identify biases, and synthesize multiple sources. Second misconception, good students read every word of every assignment. Wrong again. Strategic reading involves skimming some materials, reading others actively, and knowing which approach serves your learning goals. Volume makes comprehensive reading impossible. Third misconception, taking notes means transcribing everything the instructor says. This actually hinders learning. Listen for main ideas, distinguish between concepts and supporting details. Engage with the material rather than mechanically recording. Fourth misconception, notes are useful only for studying before exams. Quality notes serve multiple purposes: class participation, assignment completion, connecting ideas across sessions, and building understanding incrementally throughout the semester. Fifth misconception, one note-taking method works for all subjects. Different disciplines require different approaches. Poetry analysis demands different strategies than chemistry lab procedures or historical document analysis. Let me give you another opportunity for active recall. We've covered several misconceptions. Can you remember at least three before I continue? They include thinking college reading is like high school reading, believing you must read every word, assuming notes should transcribe everything, thinking notes are only for exam prep, and expecting one method works for all subjects. These misconceptions reveal a deeper issue. Many students approach college with high school strategies that no longer serve their needs. Recognizing this gap is the first step toward developing more sophisticated academic skills. Now let's examine what these skills look like in practice across disciplines. Different fields naturally have different types of texts and expectations, but all require some level of reading and note-taking competency. Consider what professionals actually read in their careers. Nurses read patient charts, prescription, side effects, and medical articles. Teachers read student work, lesson plans, and educational research. Architects read blueprints, construction contracts, and permit manuals. Accountants read financial spreadsheets, tax guidelines, and trend diagrams. Even beauticians read client features, best practices articles, and product information. Civil engineers read worksite maps, government regulations, and financial data. Auto mechanics read car engines, repair manuals, and safety regulations. This incomplete list demonstrates that all careers require reading skills, though not always text-based documents. The analytical thinking, systematic approach, and organizational skills you develop through college reading and note-taking transfer directly to professional contexts. For assessment purposes, certain concepts typically appear on exams more frequently than others. Expect questions about the difference between primary and secondary sources, the steps in recursive reading, the components of the Cornell method, and the purposes of different reading strategies. You'll likely encounter problems asking you to apply SQ3R to a specific passage, identify appropriate note-taking strategies for different scenarios, or analyze the effectiveness of various annotation techniques. Practice these applications, not just memorization of definitions. Common exam mistakes include confusing skimming with active reading, describing note-taking methods without explaining their specific advantages, failing to connect reading strategies to their purposes, and not demonstrating understanding of when to use different approaches. Essay questions often require you to defend your choice of reading or note-taking strategy for a specific situation, analyze the relationship between these skills and academic success, or trace the process of moving from initial reading to exam. Ready understanding. For memory consolidation, hold this framework in your mind. Reading and note-taking are interconnected skills that require strategic application based on purpose, audience, and content type. They're not just information gathering and activities, but thinking tools that help you analyze, synthesize, and retain knowledge. Use this organizing metaphor. Think of reading as having conversations with texts and authors, while note-taking captures and extends those conversations. Both require active engagement, not passive reception. Both serve immediate and long-term learning goals. Remember this memory anchor, the six-step recursive reading process. Access, ask, infer, learn, evaluate, apply, moves you from surface-level comprehension to deep analytical understanding. These steps work regardless of discipline or text type. Here's what matters most. Reading and note-taking are not just college skills, but lifelong learning tools. Every professional context requires you to gather information systematically, organize it meaningfully, and apply it purposefully. Master these skills now, and they'll serve you throughout your career. What should you do next? First, assess your current reading and note-taking habits honestly. Are you using strategic approaches or just hoping to get through the material? Second, experiment with the Cornell method or another systematic note-taking approach in at least one class. Third, practice the SQ3R method on your next significant reading assignment. Fourth, calculate your actual reading pace and plan your schedule accordingly. Fifth, commit to reviewing and annotating your notes within 24 hours of each class session. As you continue your studies, hold this question in mind. How can I move beyond just completing my reading and note Einlauen to using these activities as thinking tools that deepen my understanding and improve my academic performance? The answer will transform how you approach every aspect of college learning.